So we're going to be looking at the findings from administrative data, and you'll see that we're pulling in information from about 15 different data sets in the city and county of San Francisco where homeless and vulnerable folks are seen both in health, in the jail, and also in our human services. We're going to talk about 8 challenges we had pulling that data together, some of the results, and then hopefully we'll be able to have time for discussion today. 2 people who are not here today, Deb Bourne, a doctor in the Department of Public Health who's been working with homeless folks, has been really valuable from a clinical perspective. Carol from an analyst perspective, and Tom Bleeker, who is not here yet, who's an epidemiologist, is sort of helping. So we have the management, the clinical, and the epi folks together trying to make sense of what was a tremendous amount of data. We're just going to give you a hint of what Carol's going to be talking a little bit about. We have a need, as you probably do in your jurisdictions, to be able to say to the mayor, to be able to say to someone, this is how many homeless folks we have, this is how much money we're spending on them, and it usually comes with a phone call to me, like, we need it by 10 o'clock tomorrow. And so years ago, that was the dilemma we were in, and decided at that point that we needed to not only be able to answer those big questions, we also needed to be able to answer what do we know about the homeless population, uniquely how many are there, because each program counts them, and we don't know if the 40 here are the same as the 40 there. So we had a lot of questions that we had to try to answer. And it was our goal from the very beginning that this effort was going to need to result in changing the way that we work with folks. It needed to be actionable. We need to understand how clinicians would have more information to make new decisions, and we as a system of care. So Carol will walk you down through how we identified the top highest risk, highest costing folks of this population. I talked about this a little bit about we needed to understand not only who we were serving, but what were their issues. How could we measure severity? The coordinated case management system started about 7 years ago with that goal. We now have over 360,000 people in that system, and this is where the data that you're going to be presented with today came from. Just a quick look at how this data came together. It used to be that I would try to get systems to change the way that they took information and put information into their systems, and that never went anywhere. That never got anywhere. So what we did, switched gears, and Carol and I said to those systems, just keep doing what you're doing. Could we just borrow your information? I was like, sure, no problem. So what we created with either through MOUs or because I was the privacy officer at the time and could say, no, this data is, you know, for treatment purposes, et cetera, we would, over on the left-hand side there, are applications that we built for programs that didn't fit anywhere. So they were created by Oracle and supported our Sobering Center, other, like I said, programs that didn't fit anywhere. But over to the right, these are big transactional data sets that are running every day because someone comes into a shelter or because someone comes in to get an appointment, is in jail and getting health services there. And so what we did is that at midnight or at some point during the day, we would say, these 150 people here, could you tell us their medical histories? And while we're over there, dinking around with your system, can you tell us anyone who's ever been homeless that we don't know about? So instead of the 150, now we have 300 people. So we took those 300 people, went to the mental health system and said, tell us what their mental health histories are. And while we're over there, could you tell us who your homeless folks that we don't? So over time, we've amassed about 360,000 people who've either had any history of homelessness anywhere in these data sets, or have been seen in an urgent, emergent fashion in any one of those data sets, and et cetera. So, and whatever they would consider their vulnerable populations. That's the coordinated case management system from which we are taking utilization, cost data, demographics, all the information, diagnostic data. There's Tom behind you coming in. So taking this incredible amount of information and putting it in some cohesive way is a huge challenge. And this is, like, we're going to talk about what's taken us 7 years to get to. So just taking living situation, every single data set defines it differently. What's the higher right? And so merging all unique clients. So it's a tremendous effort in terms of coming down to the data for a unique person. Not to mention just defining the different ways of the way the federal government thinks about living situation. So we focused on chronic homelessness, which is 1 year of continuous or episodic information, and then also looked at level of disability, either because of the severity of their diagnoses or their status in SSI. This is a huge challenge, especially looking at shelter information, because they don't really care if one person comes and goes. They just care as the beds need to be filled. So that we've found just thousands and thousands of duplicates in the shelter system. So we went through a process of deduping them using Darrell Winkler in our coordinated case management system. Defining a person's status in homelessness is also a challenge. They come in, episode closes 2 years later, does the living situation change or not? And so we've had to have a hierarchy of looking at, okay, this system says they're not homeless, but they were in a shelter last night. And so we begin to identify homelessness based upon a hierarchy of systems. And did they receive a service? Like, do we know they're still within our grasps in the health department? This is the federal definition. I'm sure you all are challenged with looking at data from their different perspectives. Again, we're focusing on the high risk, high cost, so it would be the chronic homeless with a disability using their SSI code. So you want to, Carol, take it from here? And again, that was like speed dating. I just tried to condense 7 years of work. If you have any questions about how your county might approach it, I'm happy to help.
So one of the challenges we faced was that some of the results that we got from the early looks at the data were unexpected, in fact, a total surprise. So one unexpected result is that there were 100,000 homeless individuals that we have picked up over the last several years. And, of course, that's a huge number. It's an eighth of the city of San Francisco. And the response to that is that the homeless are coming and going in and out of San Francisco. They're not always steady residents of San Francisco. We also found that in any given year, we were looking at the 11-12 year, the fiscal year that just ended last June, there were 14,000 homeless that we found who had touched the city system. So that means that they touched the shelter system or they touched the health system or the jail system or some system that we know about. And that's considerably higher than what numbers that we usually give out. So we're looking for explanations for that. So we typically say as a city that we have 8,000 homeless people or 5,000 people on any given night. But what we're seeing is that people are coming and going all the time, even in a year's period of time, and we're picking them up, and then they move on or go somewhere else or change their status completely. And the other thing that we found is that our homeless have a whole range of conditions, health conditions, and 17% of them have a documented disability, but they also have extraordinarily high costs related to that, and they really separate themselves neatly into this is a very serious population that we need to be working with. And then the other 12,000 or so people that we have as homeless in the city are not nearly so seriously disabled or sick or injured or have conditions that warrant immediate attention. So here it is again. In any given year, this is the 11-12 year, we serve nearly 30,000 people who have a history of homelessness. And we know they have a history because we can look back in previous years. And so those are 30,000 people. But of those, only 14,000 are the ones that we define as currently homeless or homeless in the fiscal year that we looked at. So that means that another 15,000 almost have gotten housing and are no longer homeless. So that's a positive result as how we look at it. 11,000 of the 14,000 are people who touched the health system, our DPH, Department of Public Health Services, during that year. And 9,400 of them touched the urgent care services. Now, we have good quantitative financial information on what touches the urgent care services. And as a health system, we are always geared to moving people out of urgent care and into stabilization care. So we regard being in urgent care as a serious condition. 6,100 people not only had to touch the health system, but they came for a reason that is a mortality indicator. So we use an Elixhauser index. Elixhauser is a woman that worked with AHRQ, and she has a 30-item scale that indicates early mortality. And so we use that, and 6,100 of our people have one of those conditions that would indicate early mortality or, you know, a future high risk. So now we're beginning to see all the people that are in our high-risk groups. 2,300 people are not only homeless, but they have a documented disability. And this time we used as a proxy the people that we know that were on SSI for a disability or who are in SSI for being aged. And we won't spend too much time on the demographics. They're pretty typical for all of our low-income and Department of Public Health. Just at the bottom there, if a person is chronically homeless, they have an average of 9.3 years of homelessness. But if they're not chronically homeless, they are basically homeless for an average of 37 days. Here, oh my gosh, we have to go very quickly. All right, so this shows a big dropout on age. And so either the people that are over 50 in the 60s are housed, that would be nice, or they're dying early, and that would be tragic. Here we have four severity indexes that we use administratively, and I'm going to draw your attention to the bottom two. These, we have created a nice little chi-square that looks at length of time homeless and whether the persons are disabled or not disabled. And this shows us, and see if you draw the same conclusion, that those who are disabled are clearly more serious to us administratively. They cost more, they get more services than the others. And here we are looking at four severity index indicators that are related to diagnosis, and they all show exactly the same trend. So what you see is that in the bottom left corner, the not disabled people that are not chronically homeless have the lowest, but moving across there, you can see that the chronically homeless and the disabled people are our highest risk for each of these severity indicators. And here we're now looking at the most common diagnoses that we see, and HIV is very common in the population, more so. And over on the very right, 9% of our disabled and chronically homeless, that's a high number for age and HIV. Liver disease at 16% is very high, and that's generally related to hepatitis C. If you move down and look at trimorbidity at the bottom, you'll see that 22% of the population has all three indicators. So that not only are they homeless, but they have a medical condition, a substance abuse condition, and a psychiatric condition. And you can see that they're also getting a little older. And this is our reference to Elixhauser that we're using for the diagnosis. And here is our contact information. I think we have made it in just under 20 minutes.